It's Kevin McCullough on AM 970, The Answer.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio. Big news breaking Friday afternoon to you. We've got a power-packed hour. Hope you're with us. It's breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Confusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
What do Devontae Adams of the Green Bay Packers, Michael Riedel of the New York Post, Melania Trump of the White House, and Nicole Malliotakis all have in common with Tom Price? They're up next on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
And he's playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
We're learning from the press secretary, Neil. Secretary Price tendered his resignation earlier today.
That is Fox News' John Roberts reporting moments ago at the resignation that has been accepted by the White House of Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price, former congressman, I believe, from Georgia. He offered his resignation this morning, according to Mr. Roberts. Cut five.
Tom Price offered his resignation this morning. I think it was an offer that was probably not completely volunteered, let's say, because the president said this afternoon that Tom Price is a good man, but that he doesn't like what he did. It's out of keeping with the overall tone and tenor of this White House to try to save taxpayers' money. And I really think that there was no way that Tom Price was going to hang on. So it's kind of two losses for Price right in a row. He didn't get the Obamacare repeal and replace bill through that he was touting as a congressman from Georgia's 6th congressional district for many, many years. That may come back in the early part of the new year. We'll see. But he failed on getting Obamacare repeal and replacement through. And now he managed to shoot himself full of holes by taking all those private flights.
And he also failed to impress the president when he offered to make some sort of recompense for it. Cut seven.
Tom Price yesterday issued a statement saying that he was going to repay $51,000 of the cost of that flight. That would have covered his seat. Clearly, he flies with a number of aides wherever he goes. A lot of times they fly commercially, but Tom Price seemed to have excessive use of private aircraft. When the president was asked about that $51,000 reimbursement this afternoon, he said that's unacceptable to him. And when he said the $51,000 was unacceptable, you knew that Price was gone. Though, as we're learning from the press secretary, Neil, Secretary Price tendered his resignation earlier today.
But even as late as mid-afternoon, the president had said he would be making his final decision sometime tonight. It's Kevin McCullough. Glad you're with us. We've got a lot to get to. It's going to be a busy hour. Hope that you'll stay with us. Mayoral candidate Nicole Malliotakis will join us in the next segment. A little bit later, Melania Trump is in trouble with a librarian in Massachusetts. Why on earth would that be the case? Michael Riedel will stop by the studio this week to talk Broadway and whatever else comes to mind as we get together. And before we're done, Devontae Adams took a bad hit last night in that Green Bay Packers-Chicago Bear game. But what does that have to do with the national anthem protest? And why am I a little bit surprised at how all of that turned out, even as he was carried off in a stretcher? That's all coming up right now on Kevin McCullough Radio. But the breaking story, top of the hour. Tom Price, now this is an interesting situation for the president, because when you take the when you've run your entire campaign on being fiscally responsible, and your Health and Human Services Secretary, and I like Secretary Price, I've liked him in the past, I've never known of him to do something like this before, we all make mistakes, I get that, it's pretty simple to recognize that, but to the degree that these flights had started to add up, he had taken, they're saying now, in excess of $1 million worth of flights between military jets overseas and the private jets, a lot of them from Washington to Philadelphia, but there was one from, I guess, Washington to Nashville that was particularly costly. To run up a tab of $1 million and then to say, well, I'm going to pay $51,000 of that out of pocket. Now, that may be a lot of money to Tom Price. I'm not sure. But if, for the taxpayer, and this is where the president needs to get a lot of credit here. The president likes Tom Price personally, but this is the kind of behavior that he can't have in his administration. Tom Price was tapped to because of his abilities as a doctor, to focus on and get done the health care replacement plan. Undo Obamacare. Get it taken care of. We've had so many swings at that apple, it's not even funny. So there may be more at play here. Ben Stein was on just before we came on the air, and he was saying that, this is probably as much to do that he failed on getting the health care movement done as it is this. But I would say even at that, and look, I'm a fiscal conservative. I'm very consistent on this. You can't just rip off the taxpayer. And Tom Price had a voting record as a congressman in Georgia that was pretty strong on fiscal responsibility, not spending more than we bring in. He voted in favor of balanced budgets. These were things that that were significant. So I think he left the president with no real options. But I want the critics of the president to understand something as well. This is a president who's being consistent in what he has said and what he is doing. So you have a person. He didn't try to cover this up or make some sort of excuse for it or even do something really crazy like, pay the excess out of his pocket and keep it hush hush. There was none of that done. He allowed Mr. Price to make the decisions that he made. He sees the fact that he is ripping off the taxpayer, and he was going to have to fire him tonight if Mr. Price had not tendered his resignation today. The White House simply said in their statement that Secretary of Health and Human Services Thomas Price offered his resignation earlier today, and the president accepted. That's pretty curt. That's pretty blunt. That's, not a lot of mystery there. And I think it's pretty simple as to what, and he did the right thing. I also don't think this is necessarily a reputation or a career killer for Price. And I think that he will have future opportunities. He's just going to need to, sheriff them a lot better and just be a better steward of what he's given responsibility for. By the way, speaking of the president, new polling out today shows that his approval rating is up to 45%. That's a pretty big pop for him. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that over the last month, he has done a number of things really well. I think that people have looked at the president and said, hey, you handled four hurricanes back to back with great efficiency, and people are getting help. And Puerto Rico has been the toughest, but we now have, I believe it's in excess of 10,000 American troops there helping. They are launching a major ship, I think, out of Norwalk today that's taking some 80,000 doctors, nurses, supplies, et cetera, from the states down there. And it's basically a big Red Cross ship, but one of the top admirals has been tapped to run the mission, and he's going to be there for at least a month, he said today in his press statement. So I think the president handling the natural disasters, and I think also the fact that he has now come out and pushed for welfare reform in an effective way, it shows that he is handling this. There's one other thing I want to bring to your attention, and the Washington Post covered it today. No other papers did. He just nominated, and it looks like he will get through, two very strong Scalia-type judges for the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. The way you eventually populate the Supreme Court is you have a great, great bench at the appellate level to pick future Supreme Court justices from. That was where Clarence Thomas came from, is where Justice Alito came from. You want to have, it's where Justice Roberts came from. You want to have a deep bench. The way you get that is you fill those seats up with great constitutionally sound judges. And these two that he has named to the Fifth Circuit, I think, are just fantastic. They are very much in the Justice Scalia mold. So he is keeping his promises. He is being fiscally responsible, even if it means letting his Health and Human Services Secretary take a walk on this, because he made some bad choices. And he's saying things that's putting the left in really bad corners. I mean, when you get 67% of the country saying, no, we want the NFL players to respect the flag. And by the way, kudos to the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears last night. Neither team had even one player take the knee during the anthem. You got to ask yourself the question, did the president have something to do with that, at least by way of making it so unpopular to do so? Anyway, very packed hour. Nicole Malliotakis joins me live next here on Kevin McCullough Radio. Don't go away.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
It is real rough heading uptown on both the east and west side of Manhattan. Northbound FDR delays start right at the Williamsburg Bridge and take us up into the 20s with an accident being cleared. Stays heavy all the way up to the George Washington Bridge. Southbound we're slow from the 140s down into the 60s. Northbound west side highway delays start on 12th Avenue in the 30s and take us all the way up to the George Washington Bridge. Southbound we're slow from the 120s right down into the 50s. Westbound Cross Bronx loaded up from the Bruckner right across to the GW Bridge. Eastbound heavy off the bridge right out towards the area of Webster Avenue. Now the Deegan is bad in both directions. Northbound we're slow RFK Triborough Bridge up to the Cross Bronx Expressway. Southbound near Fordham Road a crash. Then we're jammed up from Yankee Stadium right down to the RFK Triborough Bridge as lots of happy Yankee fans leave the big ballpark in the Bronx. Over an hour delay, close to 75 minutes outbound at the Holland Tunnel, 45 minutes to an hour outbound at the Lincoln Tunnel. And now you know how not to go. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. Have you ever had a legal question pertaining to elder law or estate law and wondered to yourself, what's the best course of action to take? Every Thursday during Kevin McCullough Radio at 5 o'clock on AM 970, The Answer, you'll hear Mike Connors of Connors & Sullivan Attorneys at Law answer a listener's actual question. If you have a legal question for Mike Connors, the Ask the Lawyer host, simply email the question to askmikeconnors@gmail.com or call the Legal Question of the Week phone line at 347-735-MIKE. That's 347-735-6453. And don't forget to tune in to Ask the Lawyer with Mike Connors every Saturday evening at 6 on AM 970, The Answer.
Are you looking for a radio show that gives you straight talk, common sense, and the facts? Are you looking for a media outlet which offers all points of view? If the answer is yes, then listen to the Cats Roundtable every Sunday morning starting at 8:30 right here on AM 970, The Answer. The Cats Roundtable is hosted by John Catsimatidis, a successful businessman who came to this country as an immigrant and built a multi-billion dollar business empire. He's met presidents, world leaders, governors, mayors, congressmen, state legislators, and you'll hear them all on the Cats Roundtable. Republicans, Democrats, independents, conservatives, liberals, and everything else you can imagine. You won't just hear their take on the news. You'll hear them make the news. Whether it's local, national news, or international news, you can read about it in the newspaper on Monday, but hear it first on the Cats Roundtable. Sunday mornings at 8:30, right after Murano in the Morning. Only on AM 970, The Answer.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had a lot of credit card debt, and I couldn't pay my bills, so I reached out and contacted Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
They were able to work with my creditors. I've been able to pay off $15,000 in 18 months. It's a godsend.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
Tired of dealing with dummies? Experience the smart way to buy a car at Route 22 Toyota. No hidden fees, no back and forth, no pressure, and no wasting time with dummies. Alex Cancella, the general manager, prides himself on his low, low lease offers and 0% APR financing for up to 72 months for qualified buyers. And now my buddy Alex wants you to experience their new smart way to service. He's taking the same smart approach that's been so successful in selling cars into the service bay. So he said, Joe, I'm going to let you give the first five callers in the next 5 minutes a free multi-point inspection and oil change and filter if they call 855-621-9949 and say, Joe sent me. 855-621-9949 in the next 5 minutes. Get a free oil change and filter on me. 855-621-9949 and say, this one's on Joe. Route 22 Toyota, Route 22 West in Hillside, New Jersey, or at Route22Toyota.com. Tell them Joe sent you for the free oil change. All European makes excluded.
Tweet us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. We're everywhere. AM 970, TheAnswer.com. news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
Two stabbings, two crime scenes just blocks apart in Midtown Manhattan.
The first one, a driver stabbed on 50th Street between 6th and 7th Avenues. The other on 54th and Park when a man on a bike slashed a man in the chest.
What is going on in our city? Why are we dealing with this? You got the kids that were stabbed earlier this week. You got these stabbings from yesterday. And what is the mayor doing about it? Can there be something done about it? Let's ask the woman who would like to replace Mayor de Blasio. She is running for the office of mayor as the Republicans' nominee, but also she has the endorsement of the Conservative Party, and she may have received another line or two since we last spoke. The last time she was with us, we were together at Giardino d'Oro in Lower Manhattan. But Nicole Malliotakis, welcome back. Good to have you.
Great to be with you, Kevin.
When you hear the headlines of the last couple of days and you see these very bold, violent crimes take place on the streets of New York, knowing that you want to be mayor, what runs through your head when you hear those stories?
Well, you know, I've been saying for a while now that we have serious issues relating to crimes, especially sex crimes in our city. But as we're seeing here, there's really an issue with mental illness as well. Many of the crimes that we read about, the most egregious, the police officer that was assassinated was done by somebody who was schizophrenic. The FDNY EMT that was run over and killed was someone who was also mentally ill, had six psychiatric visits on his record in addition to 30 prior arrests. You read about the homeless mentally ill who are, you know, slashing somebody on the subway or stabbing someone with scissors outside the Salvation Army. This is part of an issue that the city of New York has turned a blind eye to. And I've been talking about throughout my campaign. It's actually one of my core pieces. And I put forward a plan to deal with the mentally ill in our city, which is a 12-point plan utilizing Kendra's Law, which is a mandated outpatient treatment. It's a state law that we have that we could be utilizing more to help individuals get the help that they need, investing in supportive housing. If we do something like that, like supportive housing, not only does it actually save money because it's much less expensive than hospitalization or jail, because a lot of these individuals are continually going back and through the justice system, never getting any type of assistance for their core underlying issue. So we have an opportunity, I think, to change the way the city is looking at mental illness and making sure that the most severely mentally ill, the 4% of that population, those who have schizophrenic, those who have severe bipolar disorder, get the help that they need, and also make sure that they're not going to be a threat to other people. So this is overall a public safety issue. But unfortunately, we're reading too often about this. Now, the incident that occurred, the awful tragedy that occurred in the Bronx at the Wildlife Conservation School, that is, I think, a result of, you know, no disciplinary action under this mayor. We are seeing that students feel that it's okay to bring in weapons, it's okay to bring in drugs, it's okay to disrespect and assault even your teachers and principals. Bullying is not being punished. And they've done away with the whole disciplinary system in our public schools. And I think that has contributed to this I can do whatever I want and nothing's going to happen to me attitude. And this, unfortunately, started off as what we're hearing is a bullying incident, and it had escalated and escalated until this horrific tragedy occurred. So that coupled with the unwillingness by this administration to put patrols in schools that are troubled or add metal detectors in schools where there are issues, I think is what we saw take place here. I actually had put forward a plan in my education plan when we talk about safety, talking about having retired police who are not in uniform and plain clothes that patrol and work with the public safety officers in the most severe or the more troubled schools like this school. Half the kids don't even show up for the class if they have chronic absence. 19% of the teachers were saying they don't feel safe in that school, and that was last year when that survey was taking place. And yet this administration did nothing to try to help the situation. And when I proposed what I proposed, the mayor's office had ridiculed my idea. And now what we see is, of course, the mayor's always reactive. But the idea is to always be proactive to prevent something from happening, not to be reactive and now say we're going to do sweeps, we're going to add detectors. And that's the unfortunate thing. And you know, it's very sad for the entire city, particularly for those that attend the school, and of course the families that now have a loss.
That totally makes sense, and I'm so glad that you have those specific proposals in place, because the voters of New York need to know that their mayor cares, particularly about the welfare of the students and the teachers that are in the schools. Last night, Nicole Malliotakis, there was a bit of a dust-up at the mayor's town hall meeting, and some Puerto Rican New Yorkers, New Yorkers of Puerto Rican descent, felt very put out that he has made a big deal about supporting Puerto Rico, but some of the rezoning stuff that he's put forward is literally going to price the current Puerto Rican families that live in those neighborhoods out of where they have spent most of their life in East Harlem. What's your reaction to the zoning feud that the mayor finds himself in today?
Well, I think it's the way he handled himself. You know, look, when I'm elected, I'm going to have my town hall at the beginning of my administration, not at the end of my term. And that he's doing this as a reelection ploy to finally get his face out there. The idea that just a couple of weeks ago was the first time he appeared in Coney Island following Hurricane Sandy, which was 5 years ago, to me is absolutely outrageous. And it just shows, again, that he has an I don't care attitude about doing his job. I have seen some of the footage from these town halls, and he's very disrespectful. He's very condescending to constituents. It's the same way that he often treats the media. He feels he's not accountable. He doesn't have to respond and answer questions. And it's very dismissive. And I think that that's not what people want in a mayor. They want a mayor who's going to be honest with them, who's going to engage with them. And I think the issue, the way they govern, it's they have a we're going to jam this stuff down your throat attitude instead of actually embracing and working with the communities to see what their needs are. What do they want? What do they need in their community? And how can we improve their lives? Because you can't have a cookie cutter approach to governing where, you know, what works in Manhattan may not work on Staten Island. What works in Brooklyn may not work in Queens or the Bronx. So it has to be, I think, a more local approach, including the stakeholders. What we know from this administration is he's got a cushy relationship with developers, with lobbyists. We saw
In other words, we call those conflicts of interest. Nicole Malliotakis, congratulations on the launch of the new TV ad today. We don't have time to play it now, but we'll get to it in the days to come. Best wishes as you continue to fight the good fight, and thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio. Coming right back, a very big story from the White House. Don't go away.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
We have generally clear skies and 66 degrees on this Friday evening. What's going on? We have the answer. The original Kosciuszko Bridge is being imploded early on Sunday morning. New York City Councilman Stephen Levin says the State Department of Transportation told him it will not be a large-scale explosion.
They're saying that it's not going to create a lot of dust and ash and other types of debris.
Engineers installed small charges at key joints on the bridge and predict the bridge will not break apart but fall onto a prepared landing area. The demolition is set to take place, weather permitting, Sunday morning at 8 a.m. The design process kicks off next week for a $100 million waterfront greenway on Manhattan's east side.
Even though there are some great places in the city where you can get close to the waterfront, there's also some places where we're totally cut off.
Once complete, the space will allow folks between East 53rd and East 61st Street to get access to the waterfront. Construction will begin in 2019 and is expected to be complete in 2022. Today is the one-year anniversary of the deadly Hoboken Terminal train crash. Scott Pringle has more.
Well, since this crash a year ago, New Jersey Transit still not done making repairs to Hoboken Terminal. There are many lawsuits still pending, and NJ Transit engineers have undergone screening for sleep apnea. The train was going more than twice the speed limit when it plowed through the bumper at the end of the track and went onto the concourse, took down steel beams, and killed a woman waiting and injured more than 100 others. The engineer who suffers from sleep apnea does not remember the crash.
In sports, Yankees hold on to beat the Blue Jays 4-0 at the stadium this afternoon. Mets and Phillies tonight in Philadelphia. And taking a look at the traffic, outbound side of the Holland Tunnel, stay away, far, far away. 60 to 70 minutes from all approaches, 15 minutes on the city-bound side. If you head upstream to the Lincoln Tunnel, 45 minutes to an hour, depending on the approach. City-bound Lincoln, that's about a 30-minute wait. Partly cloudy tonight, chance of a shower, low 68. Partly sunny tomorrow, a shower or storm possible, high 66. And now you know what's going on. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. What if I could promise you that you would get better sleep than you've ever gotten in your entire life, or your money back? That's right, better sleep than you've ever experienced, or you don't have to pay for what gives you that sleep. That's the MyPillow, and that's the promise that Mike Lindell has made to every one of my listeners, and he's going to offer it to you at 50% off. He's not offering it to everyone at 50% off, but he's offering it to you at 50% off. In fact, everything on the MyPillow website is now 50% off if you use our promo code. I'm Kevin McCullough, and I want you to know that Mike Lindell is committed to the best sleep of your life. He's willing to guarantee it, and if you're not convinced in the first 60 days, full refund, no questions asked. But then he's going to warranty those products, especially the pillows, for the next 10 years. They're made in America. They're machine washable and dryable. And he wants you to get started getting better sleep now. 800-506-2641. That's 800-506-2641. 800-506-2641. Call right now at 1-800-506-2641.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
I sing your praises all the time because I was very run down. I was getting bronchitis all the time. And ever since I started taking this, at the first sign of a sniffle, by the next day, it's gone.
Love it. Great product. Yeah, I should have taken it years ago. It works. You know, your skin is better, your blood pressure is down and stuff like that.
What are you waiting for? Good health is just a phone call away. Don't miss your opportunity to get a free month supply of Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code THE ANSWER. That's promo code THE ANSWER.
Breaking news and local news. Find it on our website, am970theanswer.com.
What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
This is one from my library. And it's the book All the Places You Will Go.
All right, that was the First Lady, and she's been on this tear in the last few weeks of delivering books because her office is honoring a series of classrooms and schools across the country that are doing really well, and she has decided to honor these schools, and some part of the honor that they're getting is that she delivers a complete set of Dr. Seuss books for the local school's library. So I had not heard about this, and I'm scanning through the headlines today, and I see my friend Mandy Mayfield at the DC Examiner, and she posts something about it, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And I posted it on Facebook, and a few hours later, I pull up FoxNews.com. It's the top news story of the day, trending for the Fox News channel. And I didn't understand why this was such a big deal until I understood the response of one of the schools that had been involved in the program. The Massachusetts elementary school that was picked, the Cambridgeport Elementary School, was given the books, the Dr. Seuss books, as a, you know, because that school received the award for the, there's one in each of the 50 states. So the one in Massachusetts went to the Cambridgeport Elementary School. And the librarian at that school, her name is Liz Phipps Sorio, I think is her, or Soiro. So anyway, she gets the books and returns them. She explains that she rejects them, the books donated by the First Lady, because the publication's artwork, she says, contained racist mockery. The schools that they get, the schools that get the books, get Cat in the Hat, Oh, the Places You'll Go, Green Eggs and Ham, and a few others. But she wrote in the letter to Trump, to Mrs. Trump, that the school could not accept the books. She said that they would not be keeping the titles for its collection at the public school library. She also said that we don't have a need for books. It was unclear if the school actually rejected the titles or if she just sent this letter. She continued in her letter, I work in a district that has plenty of resources and contributes directly to, quote, excellence. My students have access to a school library with over 9,000 volumes and a librarian with a graduate degree in library science. That would be her. She also said the books by Dr. Seuss contained illustrations steeped in racist propaganda. So Wiro wrote, another fact that many people are unaware of is that Dr. Seuss's illustrations, caricatures, harmful stereotypes, racist propaganda. If I ran a zoo and to think I saw it on Mulberry Street are clear racist mockery in Seuss's artwork. Now, what's interesting about all of this is that while this librarian with an attitude is sitting there giving Melania Trump, who's doing this in every state, she's giving these books and she's emphasizing the importance of reading and she's trying to get kids to read and she's doing a good job. It's drawn a lot of attention to the overall issue. And getting brand new Dr. Seuss books. I mean, if you're a school library, there's a good chance your school could use those because it's one of those are classics. But this better than everybody else in the room librarian. She also in the letter went on to denounce Education Secretary Betsy DeVos on her school choice initiative. See, it's all agenda. It has nothing to do with the actual overture made by the White House. It has nothing to do with the actual good that could be accomplished by the First Lady using her platform to shine a light on the need to get our kids reading more. And picking her son's favorite Dr. Seuss books to give to schools across the country is a sweet gesture. Why does this librarian have to be a meh? Most likely because she's a lonely, pathetic human being. She closed the letter by saying she was honored that her school was chosen and that the gesture would have been wonderful had it been better thought out. Oh, guess what, by the way? She was photographed holding a whole bunch of Dr. Seuss books about a year ago.
There's a lot to learn and understand when getting ready to buy a home. Having a right lending team in place who can help is important. The lending experts at Citizens Bank can answer your questions about home borrowing or how to get started with a mortgage pre-approval. Call Citizens Bank at 212-857-6668, 212-857-6668, and ask a citizen. Mortgages are offered and originated by Citizens Bank N.A., NMLS number 433960, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you've got lower back pain or neck pain or upper back pain, I want you to talk to my friend, Dr. Melinda Keller. Why? Because as the director of the Brooklyn Spine Center, she sees people with pain all the time. But what I love about this lady is that she's committed to eradicating it, and not with painful injections and surgery, at least not right off the bat. No, she wants to make sure your spine is healthy, so she's going to give you a complete diagnosis. And if you've got a bulging disc or spinal stenosis or a herniated disc, she's going to point you into an all-natural direction that will not cut on your body or put shots in your system. You need to call and find out more, because she's going to help you not only alleviate that pain, but maybe do things like walk freely again. 800-707-5010. It's the Brooklyn Spine Center. 1-800-707-5010, or go to brooklynspinecenter.com. Hi, Kevin McCullough. The movie Mully is the true story of Charles Mully, whose unlikely stratospheric rise to wealth and power leaves him questioning his own existence and searching for meaning in life. The movie is heart-wrenching and inspiring. In fact, the producer of the film has offered to return the money of anyone who bought a ticket and walks away from the film not impacted by its message. It's in theaters October 3rd, 4th, and 5th, and you can get tickets today at MullyMovie.com. You want to see this film. MullyMovie.com. That's Mully, M-U-L-L-Y, Movie.com.
Here's attorney Michael Barish, whose law firm Barish McGarry represents more people in the 9/11 community than any other firm in the country. They're dedicated to fighting for those who've been devastated by 9/11.
There's a misconception that health care and compensation is only available to firefighters and police officers. The government created the Victim Compensation Fund and set aside $7 billion for responders, as well as construction workers, downtown residents, and office workers, even students and teachers who were exposed to the toxic dust, which has been linked to respiratory illnesses and 68 cancers. My firm is honored to represent these people. We're dedicated to helping everyone get the compensation and health care they're entitled to. It's not too late, but you must register before the deadlines.
If you or someone you know was working, living, or going to school in Lower Manhattan between 9/11 and May 2002, urge them to learn more about their legal rights before time runs out. Visit WTCLawyers.com, or for a free consultation, call 212-385-8000. 212-385-8000.
Worry less with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
So your son got home safe last night? Tom said he had a flat tire.
Yeah, he was out past curfew and got stuck on Route 1, but Liberty Mutual went out and took care of it for him.
Liberty did what?
Yeah, a flat, jump, or tow. It's no problem no matter where or when with their roadside assistance.
What was he doing out so late anyway?
Getting himself grounded for a month.
Visit us online to get a quote. You can leave worry behind when Liberty stands with you. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Optional 24-hour roadside assistance coverage. Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. Now, how much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app. HomeAdvisor.
Listen to us anywhere. TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio.com. Get the app at AM97TheAnswer.com.
Look around at how lucky we are to be alive right now. Look around at how lucky we are to be alive right now. History is happening in Manhattan, and we just happen to be in the greatest city in the world. In the greatest city in the world.
If it's happening in New York or across the globe, learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, stay tuned. My final thoughts for the entire week coming up next. But before we go anywhere, it's time to check in on what's going on Broadway and in the world of entertainment. And there's no one that keeps their ear to the ground closer for us than our very own Michael Riedel, who will be heard at this microphone tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. here in New York. If you're in the area, AM 970 The Answer. If you're online, AM970TheAnswer.com. You, too, can hear the great Michael Riedel of the New York Post. As I now like to announce, the only living extinct creature I know.
It's me, the last of the Broadway columnists.
That's it. You're the only Broadway columnist in America.
The only newspaper
columnist.
I think
you
left.
Should take me to your public events, Michael, and let me make, you know, like the grand announcement. Like we did at the remote last week.
Yeah,
you know,
that was
like,
fun.
Come gather around. See the extinct bird that is Michael Riedel.
I'm going to wear my Walter Winchell scoop hat.
There you go. Hey, big show tomorrow. I want to talk about it in a second because I'm kind of excited about what your subject matter is, but I want to get into your column. By the way, friends, if you're listening, he writes for the New York Post. How many times a week? Two times a week? Three times a week?
I got a column twice a week, Wednesdays and Fridays.
And sometimes you even pop a third one of these.
Yeah,
somewhere.
I do big Sunday feature stories on just stuff that I like. I will soon be interviewing Ivana Trump. She's got a book.
I heard. Now, you don't have to confirm or deny this. I heard that you were the only person in all of the New York Post staff that she would speak to.
She requested me. She said, I'll do an interview with a Post, but I would like to be interviewed by Michael because I can't claim we're best friends, but I know her socially. And she's really charming, and I've had a lot of fun with her over the years. And the book is not political. It's called Raising Trump, and it's about her raising the kids. And
right.
she says in the book, and she's told me, she said, Donald had nothing to do with raising the children. He didn't meet them until they were adults. She's the one. And Ivanka's terrific. And
sure,
it's largely due to Ivana's bringing them up.
How much is Ivanka like her mom?
I have not met Ivanka, so I really can't say, but I do know that Ivana is proud of all three of the kids and adores the grandchildren.
Well, they've turned into superb human beings. Like
they're terrific.
They just can't. I mean,
you can imagine they could have been unbelievably spoiled brats, but they carry themselves off very well.
Well, I heard that, and maybe this is just hearsay, so if it is, I apologize. But what I've heard is that Donald took them out on like the construction sites and stuff when they were little, and they saw like the process of what it is to build something from the ground up.
And I remember, you know, Vaughn always said, and she says in her book too, that, you know, those kids had to go out and make a living.
Yeah.
They were not going to be spoiled by throwing money at them. They had to go out and they had to accomplish things and do things.
Well, and you look at the heirs and heiresses to all the other, you know, big kind of New York empires, you know, the Hiltons and the Kardashians and those types of people that have lived, and you see like how their spawn kind of turned out. And you're like, these Trump kids, they did something a little different because they're all respectable.
Yeah, totally.
It's interesting.
I mean, some people might prefer Ivanka in the White House to her dad.
Well, you know, we could probably do a lot worse. But that's a different topic altogether. And your advertisers don't want me to talk to you about politics. Let me get into your column, though, because Marion Seldes is
one of the great actresses, a
real beloved Broadway icon.
She died.
Something terrible is about to be released.
Well,
talk about it.
I mean, Marion Seldes, she was a wonderful, wonderful actress. She died a few years ago.
What was her best role on Broadway?
She was in a wonderful Edward Albee play off-Broadway called Three Tall Women. I believe she was in A Delicate Balance, another Albee play. She was closely identified with the plays of Edward Albee. She was married to Garson Kanin, who wrote Born Yesterday.
And she did a lot of film work because
you
would recognize her.
Completely. But, you know, at the end of her life, she had Alzheimer's, and she had agreed to let this movie maker, I use the term loosely, into her life to kind of talk, when her mind was together, to talk about her career and on the stage and whatnot. Unfortunately, though, she got the Alzheimer's and lost her mind, but he kept shooting, he kept filming, and he's made this movie that she could never consent to because she lost it. And now he showed it for a week in L.A., and some people in theater who saw it are just beside themselves with anger. They want to stop this movie from being released because it shows this beautiful, elegant, wonderful woman the end of her life when she didn't know who she was. I mean, it's a really cruel, cruel thing to do. So I took up the cause in my column, and I've since heard, you know, people are really very upset about it and are putting a lot of pressure on this guy not to release this movie.
Yeah, well,
seems totally unfair. How can you show a woman who shouldn't even know what's going on in the last 2 years of her life? She just sat there completely out of it. Why would you want to do a movie about that?
Well, it's somebody who doesn't have a name that's trying to make one.
Yeah, totally, yeah, totally.
That kind of thing.
Really,
that's too bad.
Grisly story, I think.
Well, let's shift gears on something much more positive. Tomorrow, Herman Woke is the subject of your conversation. Now, you're having on your publisher who also publishes.
Yeah, John.
The 102-year-old celebrated author?
Herman Woke is 102 years old. John Karp, head of Simon & Schuster, my publisher, and also Herman Woke's publisher. And, you know, I've started a book club on my show because in my real book club, we're reading Herman Woke's very funny novel, Don't Stop the Carnival. So I happened to mention it on air a couple of weeks ago, and I got a lot of emails from people saying, geez, how do I join your book club?
Oh, that's
so
cool.
So I've got him reading Herman Woke's Don't Stop the Carnival, and John Karp is on tomorrow talking about Herman Woke, who is 102, living in Palm Springs, still writing, and sends emails to John Karp saying, I'm working on a book. I'm not going to tell you what it's about. I just want you to know that I'm working. And I mean, you know those novels, The Winds of War, War and Remembrance, The Caine Mutiny. I mean, Marjorie Morningstar, great, great, gripping novels.
In the cast of television miniseries that have ever been made, War and Remembrance and Winds of War have got to be the number one and two of all time.
Yep.
And what they did with combining his fictional characters with real-time historical events and marrying the storylines, it's just astounding.
Yeah, wonderful. I saw it as a kid. I was in love with Ally McGraw.
Oh, who wasn't?
She was so beautiful. And remember Jan Michael Vincent? There's a name from the 70s and 80s. You haven't heard of
Airwolf or whatever it was.
And Polly Bergen.
Well, Above all of that, beef. It's what's for dinner. Robert Mitchum.
Robert Mitchum. He's,
I mean,
one of
you
his
talk
best
about
roles.
A guy. You talk about a guy that cut a figure in a uniform. That guy looked like the
Pug
part.
Henry.
Yeah.
Naval admiral.
You know, okay, so while we're on this silly subject, when they went to the War and Remembrance, you know, they changed out a lot of characters. So who was the better Jewish daughter, Allie McGraw or Jane Seymour, in your opinion?
Ooh, that's tough because they're both so beautiful. I would say the better actress, Jane Seymour.
Well, I didn't ask that.
The
said,
better actress is Jane Seymour.
See,
but I gotta tell you,
I was in love with Allie McGraw.
I was in love with Allie McGraw, too. I actually did fall in love with Jane Seymour, too, when she was the Bond girl in Live and Let Die with Roger Moore.
Yeah, but I mean, well, we can argue about this off the air.
The merits of Allie McGraw and Jane Seymour.
Tomorrow morning, don't miss him, 9 a.m. on The Town. You go on The Town with Michael Riedel. You'll never know what you'll run into. Maybe some good wine, maybe a great book, maybe the inside scoop on the Broadway shows. Right here in New York on AM 970, The Answer. Mike, good to see you.
Always a pleasure.
Kevin McCullough Radio, coming right back. Final Friday Thought next.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Unfortunately, my friends, there is no good way to leave Manhattan for New Jersey at this hour. A 60 to 70 minute delay at the outbound Holland Tunnel. Outbound Lincoln Tunnel close to an hour delay. Both the Lincoln and Holland Tunnel delays of at least a half hour coming into the city. Now, the George Washington Bridge coming into town, upstairs and down, it's really not bad. But if you're trying to get to the outbound GW Bridge, it's basically pick your poison. Northbound West Side Highway delays off of 12th Avenue all the way up to the George Washington Bridge. Riverside Drive, it's not perfect. It's not great by any stretch, but certainly better than the West Side Highway. Northbound FDR Drive, that's a slow ride from the Teens right up to the George Washington Bridge. Westbound Cross Bronx delays from just west of Westchester Avenue across to Jerome Avenue with a crash and stays heavy into the GW Bridge. Eastbound heavy off the bridge right out towards the Bronx River Parkway. And the Deegan northbound slows RFK Tribe Road to the Cross Bronx. Southbound delays from Van Cortlandt Park into the Cross Bronx Expressway. And now you know how not to go. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Today we're talking about mortgages. If you're looking to obtain a home loan, Emmanuel Katechis from United Mortgages here to help answer some questions. Emmanuel, what's currently happening in the mortgage industry?
There are many great things. For instance, one of the best new products is HARP. Right now, someone can refinance even if you owe more than what your house is worth. Also, United Mortgage can get you into a property with little or no money down.
Can you still get a mortgage even if you have bad credit?
Absolutely. Right now, even if you have a low credit score, we may be able to help you with various programs, such as FHA or VA.
What separates United Mortgage from other mortgage companies?
What separates us is service, hands down. We are here 7 days a week, from early morning to late evening. We understand that this process can be very intimidating. That is why our team has been trained in customer service and products. We are here for you even after the loan closes.
Call United Mortgage at 888-888-5721. 888-888-5721. United Mortgage is licensed by the New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut Department of Banking. 888-888-5721.
Tired of dealing with dummies? Experience the smart way to buy a car at Route 22 Toyota. No hidden fees, no back and forth, no pressure, and no wasting time with dummies. Alex Cancella, the general manager, prides himself on his low, low lease offers and 0% APR financing for up to 72 months for qualified buyers. And now my buddy Alex wants you to experience their new smart way to service. He's taking the same smart approach that's been so successful in selling cars into the service bay. So he said, Joe, I'm going to let you give the first five callers in the next 5 minutes a free multi-point inspection and oil change and filter if they call 855-621-9949 and say, Joe sent me. 855-621-9949 in the next 5 minutes. Get a free oil change and filter on me. 855-621-9949 and say, this one's on Joe. Route 22 Toyota, Route 22 West in Hillside, New Jersey, or at route22toyota.com. Tell them Joe sent you for the free oil change. All European makes excluded.
Jay Sekulow Live is next on AM 970, The Answer. What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Little screen to Adams. Ooh, he got popped in the face.
Oh my.
Mountgarden comes out and they're asking for help right away.
Jim, oh no.
And a flag.
That looked bad.
That was the hit on Davante Adams in last night's NFL game between the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears on CBS football coverage. And, you know, here we are another weekend, and the questions all surrounding, what's going to be done? How are the protests going to go down, et cetera? Well, you know, last night was interesting because Aaron Rodgers, former league MVP and the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, had said, well, we want to do something different. And I got to give it to both teams. Both the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers stood for the national anthem. Not a single player on either team took a knee, and I was happy about that. Now, what's going to happen this weekend? Who knows? Are we going to have, you know, at the Bucks-Giants game, and the Giants, you know, goodness, can they win one? This could be as good a chance as they're going to get. The Jets are playing the Jaguars, who are just red hot. They are not the Jacksonville team of old, that's for sure. They're 2-1, and they've had some big wins over some unexpected teams. But you know, Jets won their first game last week, so there could be some surprises in the bag. I think the Redskins, they're playing Kansas City. I think Kansas City's going to pummel them, but. But my point about Davante Adams goes to a deeper level, because while that injury, that hit, and he was literally carried off the field by stretcher because a Chicago Bear player came in and hit him head to head full speed, and he was penalized and he may be suspended and some other things. But there was another part of the Davante Adams story last night that I wanted people to know about. And it was this, that on CBS last night, when they did the national anthem, and I pulled off the screenshot of this and I put it on the social media today, in the midst of all the Packers players just arm in arm, which I'm okay with. I'm okay with the arm in arm. As long as you're not taking a knee and disrespecting the flag during the anthem, if you don't want to put your hand over your heart or salute or whatever like that, I'm not going to hold that against you. But if you're standing at attention and paying respect, I give you credit. But if you look at the center of the picture that I posted, and you go all the way to the center of the screen, it's number 17. It's Mr. Davante Adams. And later in the game, he would have that double hit on his head and be carried off in a stretcher. But in this picture, during the national anthem, this African-American player not only is not kneeling, he has his hand proudly over his heart. Good on you, Davante. Good on you. And we're glad to see on your Twitter feed this afternoon that you're out of the hospital, back home, and saying prayers. Thanks for all the prayers. Thank you. Kevin McCullough, we'll see you next time.